You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Welcome to the program. It's hour one on this Wednesday. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Glad to have you on board. Got some busy news to talk about. Busy show, busy morning. Breaking news. I think that's what I meant to say. Start it again. Welcome to the program. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Some breaking news. Been a busy morning here. We'll edit it out in the rear.
Just fix it in post.
Yeah, fix it in post here. Connecticut's football program has decided they're not going to play this year. And according to their athletic director, after receiving guidance from state and public health officials and consulting with football student athletes, we've decided that we will not compete on the gridiron this season. The safety challenges created by COVID-19 place our football student athletes at an unacceptable level of risk. It's not surprising that we have a school, or maybe we're going to have a couple of schools that do this. I don't know if it's a harbinger of what's going to happen with other schools, but as Connecticut announces that they're not going to be playing football this year, the Big Ten just announced that Big Ten is going ahead as scheduled. They're going to have a full conference slate. The plan is for the Big Ten to play 10-game conference schedule, conference only, including 9 current opponents in 1 additional cross-division game. They're hoping to start the weekend of September 5th. Final games will be slated for November 21st, and that will align with the academic calendars. 10 games would be played over at least 12 weeks. There are going to be 2 open dates for Big Ten schools. The schedule is structured to maximize flexibility. Everybody has a bye week, November 28th. They're still hoping to have the Big Ten title game as well. That would be the first week in December, and that'll be in Indianapolis. They could go as late as December 19th. Teams can begin preseason practices on Friday, August 7th, or earlier if permitted under NCAA guidelines there. So that's what's happening this morning in the span of the last 30 minutes. Big Ten announcing their plans for 2020 and Connecticut announcing they're not playing football. Yes, Paul.
Dan, you grew up in Ohio, and the biggest sporting event of the year where you grew up was what?
Usually me on a Friday night playing basketball against Kings Mill or...
Other than that.
Okay.
Maybe a little broader.
Okay. Ohio State, Michigan.
What's the traditional time frame of Ohio State, Michigan football game?
Thanksgiving weekend.
Dan, Ohio State, Michigan this year will be played on Saturday, October 24th. It will not be the last game of the Big Ten season. It'll be 3 weeks before the last weekend of the year.
Well, that's disappointing.
Yeah. Surprising, too.
Well, if they play, then I'm fine. Like, I'm not going to be, I said I was not going to be picky. I was not going to be critical. If they play, whenever they play, great.
Did they bump it up for that reason? To ensure it gets played? Bump it up 3 weeks.
I don't know. I kept thinking, do you move? Well, they're trying to fit this in into the academic calendar for the students to be on campus. They want to limit the amount of time they're on campus the best they can. And that's why you have 10 games over 12 weeks. Yes, McLovin.
But isn't that good? Because it lets Michigan possibly end their season on a high note instead of...
Wait, we're 4.5 minutes into the show. Michigan ends their season with Northwestern. But yeah.
Oh, great. Rich Eisen can have a nice moment in November.
Oh. Wow. All right, welcome to the program. Already in progress, as you can tell. If you'd like to be a part of the program, you can. You can dial us up. You can email us. You can tweet us if you'd like. We say good morning to Chat Row. And you can watch on YouTube.com/The Dan Patrick Show and our great radio affiliates around the country, numbering 362. Yes, Seton O'Connor.
You had mentioned earlier, Dan, that UConn unfortunately won't be competing on the gridiron this year. Technically, they weren't going to be competing on the gridiron either way.
Oh,
so
wow.
That's 5 minutes and 20 seconds in, we've taken a shot at Michigan and UConn.
Might as well throw Rutgers in there. Now they're not going to be able to lose 56-3 this season.
UConn.
Mm.
Come on, Fritzy.
Rutgers, they had, what, 25 new positive tests there? I don't know how Rutgers plays this year. Because you have, states are also deciding on the travel restrictions. And if you come into a state, how long do you have to quarantine? And that, I think, is going to be a big hurdle here. I saw where The Mississippi governor, Tate Reeves, was talking about a mask mandate. He says, I want to see college football. He said this yesterday. The best way for that to occur is for all of us to realize wearing a mask, as irritating as that can be, and I promise I hate it more than anyone watching, is critical. All right. Hey, whatever gets you to wear a mask, even if it doesn't have anything to do with health, but it has to do with watching football, I'm okay with that. So that's the governor of Mississippi and saying if you, nobody likes wearing a mask. I've never met somebody who goes, thank God, I love wearing a mask. Unless you're a bank robber, I don't know if anybody goes, whew. Yes, Todd.
Or if you're like a hermit or some type of antisocial person, this is a, you know, a great time of life for you people.
Well, I think if you're a celebrity and you don't have to talk to the paparazzi because you have the mask on. And I remember being at LAX, and this is a while ago, right at the very beginning, you had tourists coming in from China or Korea or Japan, and they had masks on. And I remember seeing a celebrity who the paparazzi was waiting for him outside LAX, and he put on a mask, and they were asking him questions, and then he just pointed to his mask, like, I don't have to talk to you. So that might be somebody who would benefit from this, but no, nobody likes wearing it. But if it means you'll wear it because if you don't, we're not going to have football. And the players know this. They have to be policing themselves. And for the fans, you can help too. Wear the mask. A lot could happen between now and the beginning of the college football season, but a couple of potential first-round picks have already decided to opt out of the season to prep for the draft. Now, first you had the Virginia Tech cornerback, Caleb Farley, and he is expected to be a first-round draft pick. Yesterday, the Minnesota wide receiver, Rashad Bateman, who's expected to be a first-round pick, said he's not coming back. If you're a Big Ten fan, you know about Bateman. He's a really good player. And a three-time Big Ten wide receiver. Also, I think he was the Big Ten receiver of the year. I don't know if we're going to see a big name opt out, and that would mean Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields at Ohio State. If you've already cemented your status as a top pick, are you going to stay? Are you going to chance this, risk this? If there's unfinished business, then that might mean we're going to stay. Trevor Lawrence wants to win another national title, maybe a Heisman Trophy, same with Justin Fields. But Lawrence and Fields seem like guys who care about their team, what their team will do. They already know they're going to be high draft picks. The next few weeks are going to be interesting as players decide on their future and teams try to get ready for a very, very unusual season. And that's what it is. These are strange times here. And I, you know, somebody wants to opt out for whatever reason, that's on you. I understand it. It should be your choice. Hopefully you're not pressured in one way or another. Saw a story about Colorado State that some of the players said that maybe the coaching staff is not totally transparent with the number of players who've tested positive here. And this is not surprising, though. If you're a mid-sized school and you're trying to gain an advantage here, I just hope these coaches, athletic directors, are truly factoring in the health of these student-athletes. I mean, we call them student-athletes. They're athletes. And I hope that they're factoring that in as we get ready for this college football season. NBA is here. They've done a great job. Baseball, I'm still waiting for the other shoe to drop. NHL's done a great job. We got golf, the PGA Championship starting tomorrow. The NFL can do a better job creating their bubble than college football can. I'm really doubtful that college football can pull this off. You might start. I just don't think it's possible that you're going to finish. And the NCAA has an announcement today. I don't know what that means. Maybe it's about the fall championships. And I'm guessing we're still playing for a championship, having a Final Four, because there's so much money at stake. And let's face it, every one of these sports, I know they love to say, well, we need it. You know, the fans need sports. We do, but the reason why these leagues are going to try to pull this off is the money. They need the money. We need the entertainment. They need the money. And that's why you're trying to see them pull this off. I mean, it's going to be an incredible magic act. It really will be. Penn and Teller are going to be envious if college football is able to pull this off. And you don't have a leader. At least I have Adam Silver, or I have Roger Goodell, Gary Bettman. They've done very good jobs here. But with college football, Mark Emmert, he reminds me of the traffic guy, you know, that at school. Like, he's not official, but he acts official. Like, he's got a badge, but it's not really a badge. He doesn't get a gun. He gets a walkie-talkie or something, but he can get you from point A to point B, but that's about it. I don't think you're getting arrested if you don't listen to him. But, you know, that's part of the problem with college football is who is running college football. And as much as we want to say the Power Five conferences, it's everybody for themselves right now. But we're going to try to get this started. Players going to be reporting, and here we go. But UConn has decided not worth it. And you know what? Connecticut has come out of this. Connecticut was a hot spot. And, you know, one of the first places where you had an outbreak in Westport, Connecticut. And it feels like Connecticut's done a pretty good job here. Now, that might be the governor saying, yeah, and we want to continue to do a really good job here. We don't want to, you know, be strident in protecting everybody in the state for 4 months and all of a sudden go, hey, let's play football. Because that is the philosophy, the mindset of some of these schools, some of these conferences. And Connecticut saying, no, we're not going to do it. Rutgers with travel restrictions, I don't see Rutgers being able to play football in the fall. Yeah, Paul.
There's also an article on ESPN today where they went through all the different college football programs and how many have not issued any directive about fans in the stands. Mm-hmm. So not only are they working on schedules, there's a lot of college football programs that are still anticipating having crowds as of right now.
Yeah, I think that they're waiting until the last minute. You want to give the impression, hey, we tried. But I do think that some schools will have fans in the stands. I do. And I don't think the NCAA can tell you whether you can or can't. This is a state by state, it feels like. The governor is probably going to be involved in it. And what governor wants to say to his constituents, hey, we're not going to have fans in the stands? No, you don't want to be that guy who says that. But some states are going to be, you know, different than others as far as what they're allowed to do, not allowed to do. But a lot of this has to do with the travel restrictions or when you come into a state, quarantine. And there's an honor system that goes on in some states where they want you to be honest with where you've been. Did you quarantine? Have you been out socially? So it's ever evolving here. Yes, Fritzy.
Now, if you're the parent of a college football player, does this UConn, I know they're not Alabama or Ohio State, that's a smaller level, does that sway you in any way if you're on the fence about whether you're going to let your kid suit up this season?
What do you mean?
Seeing this news of UConn canceling their season, if you're a parent on the fence about whether you should let your student-athlete play college football, does that do anything to sway you one way or the other about letting them get out there?
I don't think anybody going to Alabama or their kid going to Alabama is thinking about what happened at Connecticut. I don't think, you know. People aren't really thinking about Connecticut even during the season when they are playing football. You know, safety precautions, okay. You're going to have smaller schools who are going to cancel their football schedule. It's going to happen. But if you're going to Alabama, you're thinking Nick Saban is going to have the best protocols in place because this is so important to that state, and we're playing for a national championship. Connecticut, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the guidelines are in Alabama. I know what they are in Connecticut, and they're pretty strict in Connecticut. Alabama, I don't know. Yeah, Paul.
And you've been talking about this top five conferences, 60 teams, that's the future of college football. Today shows it. The Big Ten hitting the gas. The other teams, like, you know, Rutgers doesn't belong anywhere near big-time college football. Either does UConn, either do Colorado State, no offense. They're not high-end college football programs. Get the programs that are there. Get those five conferences together. Start paying the players. Get it, you know, that's the future.
Yeah, I feel like the Power Five is the future. I just don't know about the financial aspect of it. But I do think you will be treated more as a pro in waiting, maybe a semi-pro when you're in the Big Five conferences. Yeah,
But those teams that would be in those big five conferences like the Michigans and Ohio States and Alabama's, they're the schools and teams that can afford, that can weather these storms, you know, where they're not really worried about budget and infrastructure and things like that.
And the number of players that they're going to be able to have.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if you can petition the NCAA and say, can we open this up? Can I have 15 more walk-ons? Come on. Because we saw this with baseball where they added 30 minor league players to the 30-man roster for the major leagues. All right. This program is brought to you by LegalZoom. We're all faced with new challenges these days. If you need legal help for yours, count on LegalZoom. You can start online. Network of independent attorneys can provide advice when you need it the most. And since LegalZoom isn't a law firm, you don't have to leave your home. Visit LegalZoom.com today for more information. All right. The opt-out day for the NFL is tomorrow. Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk will join us coming up in an hour from now. Phone calls are always welcome. McLovin, you're sitting on a poll question.
I am.
Okay.
But I'm not going to tell you right now.
Oh, that's,
you're
going
to have to wait
tease.
6 minutes.
That's a tease. By the way, we had a power outage in Connecticut, along the eastern seaboard, as they like to say. And I think everybody lost power except for McLovin. You didn't lose power, did you?
No, I did not.
All right. Yeah, it was one of those. My wife goes, well, what are you going to do? And I said, I think I'll be okay. I sat down in the basement in the dark by myself, smoked a cigar, and had a little tequila on the rocks. And my wife walks down with a flashlight, and she goes, that's so sad. I said, no, it's nice. It's my normal night. You know, get around 7:15, 7:20, get down there, watch the beginning of Entertainment Tonight with Kevin Frazier, watch a little basketball, Maine Cabin Masters, Building Off the Grid. That's it. Barnyard Builders, some baseball. My boy Dustin May of the Dodgers. I was going to be okay. Although I didn't get to see anything last night, but I just sat down there, and as the great Gary Allen once sang, smoke rings in the dark. And that was pretty much me last night. Yes, Paul.
McLovin didn't lose power. He gained power last night. He was holding it over us. He's texting about what he's watching, what he's doing. He's like, I got Wi-Fi. He was having fun with it.
The guy I was worried about was Fritzy, because he was starting to panic because he was walking around the neighborhood. He was going door to door, see if he could use their internet.
I was moving my phone around to the clouds, trying to find any kind of signal at all for just something.
I can't get it. I can't get anybody. I said, it's okay.
We walked for blocks, and then we drove like all over every friend, acquaintance that might have some kind of generator or backup Wi-Fi system.
Fritzy called me, and I go, what do you want?
Did say it like that.
I know, I did.
I hurt my feelings a little bit.
And I said, what do you want?
Like I was interrupting you with your flashlight and your tequila.
You were. Yes.
Just in case you didn't get my text saying that I have no way to communicate with you guys. Okay. That's always so weird when somebody's like, hey, guys, like they send you a text message and they're like, hey, just FYI, got no way of communicating here, so I'm going to be down for a little while. I'm like, how did you text us that then?
Because a couple of my texts.
How'd you text us that stuff?
A couple of texts came back that said not delivered, and then sometimes they said it didn't. It gave you a green thing, and then there was a
Todd,
blue.
Did you drive around to those houses, or did your wife drive you around to those houses?
My wife was driving while I was panicking next to her, trying to see if I can get any kind of signal with my phone.
Why would you think that the neighbors would have some type of magic Wi-Fi?
Because we had a couple of friends up the road that I know had generators, but even with the generator, they still weren't getting anything because it was the cell phone towers, which has nothing to do with if you have a generator or not, but I couldn't accept.
I can't imagine how panicked you were because you have to have, you're connected. You have to be connected.
She convinced me to call you, Jed. You could blame my wife. I'm like, I can't book any guests. I can't contact anyone. I don't know what to do here. I was like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. So she said, call Dan if you're that worried about it. Just let him know that you have no power. So at 9, 10, 11 o'clock at night, if they thought that you've been working on things for hours and you couldn't, if that makes you feel better.
Yes.
But I call you and then you give me, what do you want?
Yes.
I can't contact anyone. I can't book any guests. I better call Dan to tell him.
Your phone worked and your texting worked.
The phone initially didn't work, and then I found one spot in the kitchen where I got through to Dan. But
I better text the guys to let them know I can't send any text messages.
But making a phone call is very different than I wasn't receiving or being able to send any kind of emails or anything. But I eventually was able to get a signal to at least call you to let you know the guest list might be slim.
Thank you. I don't know if this is true. You know, I'm going to wait. No, this has nothing to do with Fritzy. There's a weird new rule in the Big Ten. I don't know if this is true or not, but I trust the reporter on it. I just, it's one of those where you go, this is mind-boggling. What is going on? That's a great tease. Eat it, Greeny. It's 21 after the hour. We're going to take a break here. We're going to come back on the Dan Patrick Show right after this. Full Sail University, full speed ahead on your broadcasting career. You can get a degree in sportscasting. Not communications like I did, or journalism, or broadcasting. It's sportscasting. And it's a bachelor's degree. You can get it online or Full Sail's campus in Orlando, Florida. You're going to learn all the aspects from being in front of the camera, behind the camera, broadcasting, radio, everything in between. And one of the reasons why I partnered with Full Sail is their approach to education. It's hands-on learning, and they have immersive projects, and the faculty has real-world experience. In fact, the faculty that we have at Full Sail University teaching you sportscasting will rival any other faculty in America. In fact, it's better than any other faculty teaching this in America. I'm that confident because there are people who have been on camera, producers, directors, and they've worked at networks. They worked at ESPN with me. At Full Sail, earn the bachelor's degree in about half the time, as short as 20 months, and you can choose to earn your degree online or on campus in Orlando. To learn more about the Dan Patrick School of Sportscasting, go to fullsail.edu/Dan Patrick. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. So once again, if you're just joining us, UConn has canceled their football season. But also, I don't even know what the name of the conference is. Is it like AAC that they're in? Are they independent? They were Big East, but they actually got canceled by, they have quite a few ACC teams on their schedule, so they had already canceled because the ACC was not going to play out of conference. And then the Big Ten is going to play a 10-game conference-only schedule, including 9 current opponents and 1 additional cross-division game, and they hope to start September 5th, and they hope to have that Big Ten title game first weekend in December, and they can push that back to December 19th. A lot of contingency plans in place here. I mentioned that there's a rule. I don't know if this is real or not. Now, Brett McMurphy, who is as connected as anybody covering college football, just sent this out. He tweeted, weird new Big Ten rule this year. Team that has been most recently quarantined gets the choice to receive the opening kickoff or defer to the second half. Okay. Fritzy, can you reach out to Brett McMurphy just to say, is this real or not?
We have. I've not heard back just
okay.
yet.
Okay. Who thinks that this is real? The Big Ten rule this year, the team that has been most recently quarantined gets the choice to receive the opening kickoff or defer the second half. Yes, Todd?
I think it's silly, but I think it's real, at least the way the tweet is worded. Yeah, I'm buying into that all thing right. Like a real thing.
McLovin?
I wish I hadn't said it out because I realize now it's a joke. I think.
Yeah, I was going to say this seems like a joke, but...
Although I just checked it out. So they've changed all the conferences are announcing new coin toss rules to minimize exposure.
Oh, gosh.
So maybe.
See... You know, that I don't like that if Brett McMurphy is joking, on the heels of the Big Ten sending out their information here, and as much respect as I have for him, I assume that this is real, even though it sounds like it's crazy. Just the fact that the Big Ten announced what their schedule is going to be, and then you put this out on the heels of that. Yeah, McLovin.
I did check. It's like, it really is Brett McMurphy on Twitter. You know how like the fake Adam Schefter gets?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's him, and I think he's joking.
Okay. Yeah, Paulie.
Until about 30 seconds ago, I thought he was joking, but the way he worded it, and in the time we're in right now, I think he is correct in reporting something. I think it's shocking that a team would get a bonus for being quarantined. That would be, why don't you bonus the team that's not quarantined and doing things the right way?
Yeah, being smart. Yeah. See.
What if neither team had been quarantined?
Then I think you have a coin toss.
I mean, there's no way that's real.
Yeah, I'm surprised. If that's real, I'm surprised.
I thought it was a joke, and then I thought back for a second that that's something that a dumb conference commissioner would do, to appear to be sympathetic to the situation.
Yes, Todd.
And I was looking for like an LOL or an eye roll or a laughing emoji, but that wouldn't clear it up either, because that could just be his reaction to a bad rule that he's still stating as fact.
This program brought to you by Mercedes AMG. Be prepared for whatever comes your way. The all-new GT four-door coupe. Because life's a race. Visit your local dealership for a test drive today. If you miss any interviews this week from the Mercedes AMG Man Cave, go to danpatrick.com. Watch and listen from inside the Mercedes AMG Man Cave. Mercedes AMG driving performance. Did you reach out to Brett McMurphy?
We have.
Okay.
Still trying to find
him. All right. Thank you, Todd. McLovin, poll question today is what?
Okay. If you were a college football player who thought you were going in the first round of the draft, would you play this season? Mm. Kind of one of the big questions of the day. You're really pretty sure. I know a lot of guys, it's a toss-up where you are, but you think you're probably top 15.
It would depend on who I'm playing for. If I'm playing at Clemson or Alabama, Ohio State, somebody who has something else to play for aside from, hey, I'm just going to play and then I'm going to go to the combine, get drafted in the first round. You know, Trevor Lawrence wants to win another national title, wants to win a Heisman. Justin Fields wants to prove that he's better than Trevor Lawrence. There's a lot more at stake for some of these players, certainly the quarterbacks at those universities. But if you're playing for Minnesota, you're playing for Penn State, you're playing for whatever school that might seem secondary to those who are going to be playing for a national title, I understand it. I just think they're not going to know until they get there. And is it worth going through all of this? And it might not even happen. You know, it has the feel of Charlie Brown and Lucy. Like Charlie Brown is always ready to kick that football, and Lucy keeps pulling it out from underneath him, and he always whiffs on it. This feels like a Charlie Brown setup of, looks good, snap looks good, the hold looks good, and then Lucy takes the football away. That's the feeling I'm getting here. Todd, it must be important you've raised your hand twice in the last 10 seconds.
We just heard from Brett McMurphy, so I'll let you guys guess whether this is a joke or a real new rule.
Now, can he call in?
I will find out.
Yeah,
if we want him to review
it. See if he wants to call in.
Okay.
I think it's a joke, but the fact that it's on the heels of the Big Ten announcing their conference schedule, Fritzy thought it was real. So let's see if Paulie thought it was real as well. Yes, McLovin.
Do we know anything about his sense of humor?
Right? Anyone
had a beer with him and know who he's like?
I don't know if he's a laugh-a-minute guy. I have no idea.
We've had him on a few times, and he appears witty. Mm. I think he's got a little snarky guy.
Mm. Okay. I watched the highlights since I couldn't watch the games last night. Watched this morning the Clippers game against the Suns. There's a real race going on right now. I mean, I find it really entertaining. Spurs playing well. Suns are playing well. Memphis trying to hold on for dear life. Who else is? Portland is in there as well. Portland beating the Celtics. Carmelo looked good last night. Yes, McLovin.
These are your teams. This is your little bracket. You got your Kings and De'Aaron Fox. You got Devin Booker. These are the guys you talk about all the time.
Okay, before this storm hit yesterday, I'm in heaven. I'm watching the Mavs against the Sacramento Kings. And it goes into overtime. Like, I was thrilled it went into overtime. I'm like, yes, even more basketball. And it was so weird watching the Kings and the Mavs, because at one point I went, oh my God, Luka's got to have incredible numbers. And it may sound strange, but when you watch the game, you don't get that feeling. When I watch Harden, I know that he's building up some big numbers there. There are certain players you watch and you realize they're putting on a display. He had 34 points, 20 rebounds, and I think 12 or 13 assists. Once again, 34, 20, 12. He's a shooting guard. It's almost as if we're starting to take him for granted, and he's 20 years of age. This is, nobody's put up these kind of numbers in a game since I believe Kareem did back in 1986, something like that. But you're watching him, and he makes it look a lot easier than he should. But it's one thing to put up 34 and 12. He had 20 rebounds. And I know a lot of guys are putting up big numbers here, but I was watching Luka and I'm going, what am I doing here? Like, I'm watching Sacramento and seeing if Sacramento has any life here. And then all of a sudden you go, oh, there's Luka again. All right. Another rebound. And it's not like Russell Westbrook, where it felt like he wanted to get a triple-double every single night because that's how he's going to win the MVP. Luka, and I know, as McLevin says, he's a ball hog.
I never said that.
Yes, you did. You said it this morning.
No, I just said that these points are empty. Like, they went to overtime against the Kings. They're empty points.
You said this morning, he's as much of a ball hog as Harden is.
No, he's exactly the same player as Harden. He just gets the free throw line like 100 times a game because he's impossible to guard.
But why are you down on Luka?
I'm sitting here and saying, how can they go to overtime with the Kings if this guy is dominating so much?
The
Mavs, Giannis never goes to overtime.
Have you seen the Mavs roster?
Yeah, they got Porzingis and Luka. What else do I need to see?
Sacramento actually has a better balanced roster than the Mavs do. I mean, I got Tim Hardaway Jr. I got J.J. Barea, Willie Cauley-Stein.
J.J. Barea?
Yeah, I think he's still on the team.
Oh, my God, look at the box score. That dude's still around?
I think he had 1 point yesterday.
Yes.
Like, they only have two. And, you know, Hardaway Jr. can score. That's not a good roster. And are the Mavs the number 4 seed right now?
They're floating in there. Everyone's like a game apart.
Do I give him credit? Do I give Luka credit that if they ended up as the 4th seed in the West, McLevin, is that a big deal?
All right, fine.
Okay.
I'll give you Luka. I don't know why I can't stand Luka. It's not that I can't stand him, but...
He's 21. He's 21. I mean, it's really amazing. If I said you could have Zion or you can have Luka right now.
Zion.
Zion's scoring like a... God, are you kidding me?
Zion's like a 0.5 per minute. He's unstoppable. His per 36s are ridiculous.
He doesn't play 36.
Never. That's
no,
true. But
no.
Every time he's on the court, he's kind of scores every second of every possession.
Wow. You would take Zion over Luka.
Yes. Okay. I think Zion's going to win an NBA title. I think Luka might too.
Luka will win an MVP. I don't think Zion's going to win an MVP.
Yeah, it'll be like a Harden Westbrook MVP. Where like the sports writers don't look at efficiency numbers and give them to him, and then he goes out in the first round.
They said this about Dirk Nowitzki, and then Dirk won a title beating LeBron in the Miami Heat, and that shut everybody up. You remember in that series where he had some, I don't know, he had a cold or he had some kind of flu or whatever, and LeBron and Wade were kind of mocking him on the floor by coughing. And I just thought, man, that's such a punk thing to do. And it made me root for the Mavs even more because I'm like, who's LeBron and Dwayne Wade to be punking Dirk Nowitzki going, and then they ended up beating the Miami Heat. The three teams undefeated in the bubble, Indiana, Phoenix, and Toronto. I like how people, you know, some of these analysts go, hey, keep an eye out on Toronto. Thank you. Yeah, I don't know. They got something going on there in Toronto. Hey, keep an eye out on Portland. Do these analysts watch anything prior to the bubble, or do they understand the rosters here? Like, Toronto won the title last year. Yeah, they don't have Kawhi. They're still a pretty good team. Keep an eye out on Toronto. Phoenix is fun to watch. And that shot last night by Devin Booker, that is a man-sized jump shot. That was big. Big shot there. And T.J. Warren is leading my Indiana Pacers. Yes, McLovin.
You can forgive NBA writers who didn't see T.J. Warren coming, I'd assume.
Oh, no, I'm right there with him. I didn't see T.J. Warren. Entering the bubble, he had played in 322 NBA games and never had consecutive 30-point games. In the bubble, he's had three consecutive 30-plus point games. I thought that'd be a stat of the day. Apparently, a little strict here. Somebody fell asleep at the wheel. Here we go.
Here comes.
There we go.
Stat of the day. Stat of the day. Here comes that
what?
Stat of the day. Pop,
We'll find out if Brett McMurphy was joking when he said that new Big Ten rule this year, the team that has been most recently quarantined gets choice to receive opening kickoff or defer to second half. I think he's joking. The only reason why I thought it was true is because the Big Ten just made their announcement of what was going on with the conference schedule. So we'll see if we can track down Brett McMurphy and ask him. I only want to ask him one question. Were you joking? And then I'll let him go. Your phone calls are coming up. We'll settle on a poll question as well. And we'll be back after this on The Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to The Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live every day at youtube.com/The Dan Patrick Show. Yeah, you got a great race for that eighth spot in the West right now. And you start to look at these teams and you go, how did Milwaukee lose to the Nets last night? Well, Milwaukee didn't have their starters out there, and New Jersey or Brooklyn was an 18.5 point underdog. So one of the biggest underdogs in the last 30 years in NBA history, pulling off the win. And, you know, the Clippers against the Suns, you know, you start to wonder the motivation with some of these teams. Like the Lakers play Oklahoma City tonight. What is your motivation tonight? Is it better if you lose that game? You know, they got to start to worry about who they're going to match up with first round, second round as well. Do you have Anthony Davis and LeBron James out there playing 25, 30, 35 minutes? I mentioned this. McLevin sent this to me. Give me the tweet by Brett McMurphy. He's the college football insider at Stadium Network, and I have great respect for him. Big Ten just announced their schedule plans, and do you have the tweet, McLevin?
Okay, here is a tweet. He sent this out right around the time the show started, 9 a.m. Eastern. Weird new Big Ten rule this year, : team that has been most recently quarantined gets choice to receive opening kickoff or defer to second half.
Okay, we went around the room. Fritzy and Paulie agreed on something for a change that they think that this is an actual rule. McLovin and Seaton and myself thought that maybe Brett McMurphy was having a little bit of fun. Brett McMurphy joining us on the program. Brett, is this a real Big Ten rule this year?
This is like one of those bits where it's, are you Canadian or are you dead? But Dan, you were right. It was a joke, but I did get a couple of text messages from some four-letter network people wondering if it was a real rule or not.
All right. Well, I'm wondering, we saw where Connecticut canceled their football schedule, but it feels like other schools basically canceled Connecticut's football program because if you're playing the ACC, like these conferences are going to play teams in their own conference. You have a situation here with Rutgers. I don't know how Rutgers plays football this year. What are you hearing about the Big Ten? I know the schedule just came out. Is everybody confident they're going to be playing football this year in the Big Ten?
You know, Dan, they're not. Later today, the NCAA board of, NCAA directors votes on whether to cancel fall sports championships. And that's basically volleyball, soccer, and cross country. That does not impact FBS football. However, multiple athletic directors I've talked to said if they do cancel those fall sports championships, that ultimately the presidents would probably shut down football because it's not good optics to say we can't, it's not safe to play these non-revenue sports in the fall. And by the way, it's not safe to bring back our entire student bodies back on campus in the fall. But hey, everything's all right. Let's go ahead and play football. So I think that's something to keep an eye on later today. And, you know, people that I've talked to, again, this isn't definite, but they believe, ironically, the Big Ten would be the first one to shut it down. And Kevin Warren, their commissioner, even today said that, you know, look, the schedule's out, but if we're not 100% certain on the safety and health of this going forward, we will not have a season. And if that happens, a lot of people think every other conference will follow suit, although some people I talked to said, hey, the SEC will forge ahead and play. So I guess if the SEC is the only conference playing and you win the SEC championship, hello, national champions.
But then I know these are strange times. We like to call it the new normal. It's the new abnormal. But I don't see how college football finishes. They may start. I just don't see how they finish. And I had, you know, a source who said Rutgers can't play football this year. You have travel restrictions, quarantine issue. Like, there's so much going on here, so many moving parts. I just don't see that happening. I would be surprised if the SEC said, hey, we're going to follow suit if the Big Ten and, you know, the Pac-12, the Big 12, like everybody was shutting everything down. Does the SEC then say, hey, these are really bad optics, we have to shut down too?
I would think so. But again, if each conference is going to do what they think is best for their conference, and if the SEC really believes, and I'm not saying that they couldn't do it, but if they really believe that the health and safety of the student athletes are not compromised and that there are no issues, then yeah, I could see them go ahead and playing if you have other conferences set out. Yeah, we know what the optics would look like, and yeah, it would add more to their motto. It just means more. But you know, this is not the NFL. Everybody does not do everything in lockstep, and that's why, you know, you've got four Power Five conferences playing 10 games, and the ACC is going to play 11. And then you've got some of the smaller Group of Five conferences who will play anywhere from 10 to 12 games. I mean, there's so many uncertainties this year, yeah. Dan, but the only certainty is this will be unlike in any college football season we've experienced in our lifetime.
Thank you, Brett. We appreciate your time and your sense of humor. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
That's Brett McMurphy. He's College Football Insider at Stadium Network. Yes, McLovin.
Don't forget / stand-up comedian. Apparently, joke a minute, that guy.
He's funnier than Fritzy is. And he's not trying to be a stand-up comedian.
Wow.
Section, row, okay. Seat.
What's the problem? Why can't we figure out where to sit?
Brett McMurphy would have crushed if he did section, row, seat. He would have.
Yeah, he would have somehow tied it into something remotely funny.
Something
at the end.
Observational humor. You had the observation, you just didn't have the humor.
Which is very difficult in a comedy club.
Oh, man. It is going to be really, really dicey here coming up with college football. It is. I know. I'm Danny Downer with it, but I talked to two people I have great respect for, and they've been around the game a long time. And both say they don't think there's going to be a college football season. They said it might start, and they said don't rule out the SEC going rogue and saying, we're playing football. Opt-out day tomorrow for NFL players, if they're going to decide whether they're going to play or not. We'll talk to Mike Florio about that, a few other NFL items as well. 1 hour in the books, two more to go, Dan Patrick Show.